him some praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. I need to offer Reverend Hope my deepest apologies. The pastor and the chair of the communications ministry missed signals this week. And what was written down were some verses out of the book of Joshua about Joshua and some spies, but it was really out of the book of Numbers. Don't know how we missed that, but it did give Reverend Holt an opportunity to practice saying all those Old Testament names. Praise God. Give God some praise for her. That's some assistant pastor obedience right there. Shane looked back at me one time and said, "What in the world?" Yeah. And I just kept saying, "Amen, go ahead, go ahead." Numbers, 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 Numbers. Chapter 13. I want to read a few verses from it that will help us in our sermonic discourse today. Learning from my partner in crime, Reverend Dr. Vance Ross, with his crazy self. Starting at verse 1, reading from the King James Version, Numbers 13. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel." Skipping down to verse 17. "And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage." Touch your neighbor and say, "Be of good courage."
Be of good courage.
"And bring of the fruit of the land." Now the time was the time of the first striped grapes. And so they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob as men come to Hannah. And they returned, now at verse 25, from the searching of the land after 40 days. I'm sorry. "And they went and came to Moses and Aaron, to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told them and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great, and moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of the Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the man that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. I want to preach for the few minutes that's been given to me today on this New Year's Sunday from the topic, a question really, for us here at Emery Grove, whose report do you believe? Whose report do you believe? God, we thank you for this moment where we sit at your feet looking for the blessing that only comes when you speak to us. And so, God, now we sit in our tent doors and wait for that word that will change us and transform us and remake us and remold us and move us, Lord God, from where we are to where you want us to be in your divine will. Speak now, God, to your people who wait to hear a word from you. Lift up our bowed down heads that would encourage our hearts, Lord God, that would increase our vision. That we might not only see what you want us to see, Lord God, but that we would be who you have called and created us to be for you, in you, with you, Lord God, and through you. Have your way. Be glorified during this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So not only are we at the beginning of a new year, and pastors, all of us, I think, at this time of the year like to cast vision for our church. It is a long time, 12 months. As you are well aware, a lot can happen in 12 months. Amen. Some stuff that was going on last January, we wish we knew last January what would have happened in June or September. It is, 12 months is a precarious time. Anything can happen. I went to visit somebody in the hospital just last week. I got a call that they had been in a car accident, and I said to them, what happened? And the man told me, I just coughed and passed out. Y'all hear me? I just coughed and passed out. I was on my way from point A to point B in shopping season, going to do what people do in this season, and I got something swallowed wrong, I don't know what it was, and I coughed so hard that I couldn't catch my breath. And when I woke up, my car was wrapped around a telephone pole. I don't know what happened. It didn't take him 12 months for a transition to happen in the year. It took only a moment. Don't you know your next breath is not promised to you? It's a long time, and what we try to do in January is to look forward and hear from God. What is it that you have for us this year? Yes, sir. As God's people, it's part of our job to hear from God and to translate to you what God is telling us. That's a part of spiritual leadership. And it's not an accident that in January we focus in our sermons on leadership. In January, next week we will be installing officers, amen, leaders for our congregation for next year. These are the folks upon whom I depend to do what needs to be done when I'm not in that space. A pastor can't be everywhere. Yes, sir. And if we're right about it, a pastor should not be everywhere. Amen. A pastor or an assistant pastor who's doing everything is the pastor or an assistant pastor of a weak, dying church. Because at the end of the day, everybody under the sound of my voice has the title minister behind your name. God has something for you to do. God would not have wasted the breath that he put in your body if he didn't want you to be doing something in the kingdom of God. And if you woke up today and drew breath and had the nerve to praise God, also know that God expects you to be doing something with the breath that he put in you in 2017. You're not here by accident. You're here on a mission. So we try to cast some vision for leadership. And today we just want to focus on visionary leadership. Here's what I found out, a couple of things. As a leader, if I think I'm leading and I go on my way doing my leading and look back and nobody's following, I'm just on a long walk. And if I'm leading with people following or not, and I'm not leading where God is beckoning us to come, I'm leading people into death and destruction. Visionary leadership is essential for the success of God's people in the kingdom of God. If we don't follow Christ, it means there's no other option than that we are following the devil. Yes. Mm-hmm. There's no in between. Oh, some of y'all got mixed up. You said, but what if I'm just following myself? I said, if you're not following Christ, y'all catching up with this now, you're following the devil. What goes on in our own mind is deceitful. What goes on in my heart is deceitful. It's not like God. I don't have God's mind. I don't have God's understanding. I didn't reach out and speak and worlds jump into existence. I don't have power to even think what my mind can understand. Only God can do that. So I need to hear from God. And now I have a confession to make. As a pastor, I love to tell y'all when I'm right. Which, by the way, is not arguable most of the time, right? Amen. But every now and again, I'm wrong. This is your pastor talking to you, who got up this morning and put his pants on one leg at a time, just like many of you. Who when I get cut, bleed red blood, just like you. Who at the end of a day gets tired and sleepy and I snore at night. It's loud, trust me. Just like many of y'all. Don't look at me like that. Stand me in certain shoes too long, my feet begin to hurt. I'm flesh and blood human being. I make mistakes as a pastor. That's why I need people who pray for me.
Yes, sir.
My God. And not people who in the parking lot pray on me. I need you in my worst moments to be holding me up before God. And even if you call me a fool, say, Lord, speak to that fool. Because I need him to be the pastor.
Amen.
And I have to own today as I stand before you that my vision for us has been too small.
Yeah. Amen.
Too small. I have been hearing the report of the devil about what is and paying more attention to that report than the report of the Lord who tells me what it's going to be.
Amen.
Some of y'all still aren't with me.
Amen.
Let me go in this text for a minute. These people have been on a journey, had a promise from God about what was going to be. That God was going to bless the entire world through the seed of Abraham, that these were going to be God's people. And part of the promise was, wherever you go, wherever you set your feet, that land is going to be yours. Get to a place that I'm getting ready to show you, and I'm going to bless you above all measure. And they were wandering around 40 years in the desert trying to figure it out. And here they are, on the cusp, on the precipice of achieving the dream that God promised them, that God had for them. Go on up to Canaan land. Go south and possess the land. You're here.
Amen.
This is the land that I promised you. I'm telling you, I'm God, that I've already prepared the way, that this is your land. You're going to inherit it because I'm giving it to you. Go on up there and take what God gave to you. Just walk in. Don't ask me how you're going to do it. Don't ask me whether you have to fight a battle. Don't ask me how it's going to be when you get there. I'm promising it to you. Go get it.
Yes, sir.
2017, we come to January 2017 having forgotten what God promised us as a people. And have forgotten that it was God who promised it. We've been through enough as a congregation when we were without.
Amen.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Was it 4 or 5 years ago? I don't even remember how long it's been. I got here, we didn't know whether the lights would stay on, whether the heat would be on, how many people were coming, how many people were leaving, how many people were in conflict, didn't know whether there'd even be a church. Can I just testify for a minute? I can only talk about me. The bishop asked me to come here, and the word from all the elders was, Tim, don't go there. It's a pastor-killing church. That was the word on the street about what was going on in here. And I remember as clear as my name is Timothy, God saying, I'm about to do a great thing.
Yes, sir.
Don't you be afraid. If you go, I will use you.
Amen.
Because I'm about to do a great thing. And I remember coming, I sat right there with members of your administrative council. And it was hard for me to say anything because I was just feeling from God what God was trying to do. And over time, God has given me a vision for what God is about to do with us, through us. If you turn that way, all the land, all the way to the corner, belongs to God through Emery Grove Church.
Amen.
Look at me like I'm crazy if you want. I don't care whether you think I'm crazy. I'm just telling you what God told me. This is going to be the epicenter of ministry with poor and marginalized people in the upcountry. That's what's getting ready to happen here. This is not going to be a family black church. It's going to be a church for everybody from everywhere where God's name will be glorified. And the worst of the worst are going to be here converted into the best of the best by the Christ whose blood covers all of it. And for years, we have been working together, spying, if you will, trying it out. Seeing what God has for us. And listen to me. God has done some amazing stuff around here. When's the last time you had a leak in a roof in this building?
Amen.
Come on, somebody. When's the last time the heat didn't get, the bill didn't get paid? When's the last time we had a dry Sunday in here where you couldn't worship God if you wanted to? When's the last time you worried about what your neighbor was thinking about you or what conflict was about to happen in a meeting? I'm not claiming credit for it. God has done it. This is not the Emery Grove Church your grandmother used to come to. I'm declaring in the name of Jesus, it's a brand new thing because God said so. And like these murmuring people, everybody didn't get it. Everybody's not going to go into the promised land. Some folk going to be upset. Some folk going to get stuff gossiping in the parking lot or on Facebook or wherever it is y'all go. I'm not worried about y'all. I have seen God's vision. And in the doing of the little things. Because not so many people have a whole lot of money here. I've been piecemealing and trying this and trying that and urging and convincing and cajoling when what I should have been doing is been on my knees saying, God, thank you for what you're getting ready to do.
Yes, sir.
The big achievement for us. For the first time in 140 some odd years, we have handicapped accessible bathrooms on the first floor of the sanctuary. Hallelujah. Poor Emery Grove Church that everybody was about to write off managed to get itself a mortgage and a down payment and raise a whole bunch of money and put something brand spanking new that people have never seen before. People still amazed. Oh, Lord, look what y'all doing at Emery Grove. I just say praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And in my small thinking, this is my repentance, I came to a meeting a week, maybe two ago, I don't even remember when it was, and I said to the administrative council, we're going to have to launch a campaign because a church in debt is a church in bondage. I said those words. We're going to pay this debt off early so we can get about the business of ministry because God intends for us to bless. I'm thinking about the small thing that's in front of me called a mortgage. It's a mortgage. It's some words on a paper and some money that has to be transferred. And I turned to Sister Cook, who was our finance chair. Y'all help me thank God for Sister Cook and her leadership. Right in the meeting, I said, Sister Cook, how much money we owe? She said, I think about $180,000. I said, well, we're going to pay this $180,000 off quick. We're going to launch a campaign. I'm going to preach this. We're going to organize that. And we closed our meeting saying, all right, that must be God's will.
My vision is too small. Y'all still not with me yet. Let me tell you the rest of the story. Later on that week, I found out that somebody in this congregation, us, among us, there were people who had already thought about sacrificing to pay this mortgage. We were in debt, $190,000 in December. We came to church today with no debt. So I began to think about it. Our big stuff is nothing to God. Y'all not hearing this? What I know for sure as a pastor that everybody under the sound of my voice is going through something hard right now. I don't know what it is. You haven't told me all your business. I'm willing to listen, but I'm going to tell you right now, it may not make any difference anyway. Because you got the same access to God that I have. But what I do know is your hard stuff ain't nothing for God. I don't know who I'm talking to. God has laid a vision in your heart about what God wants out of your life. And I know you're listening to this one in your ear and that one in your other ear and what your mama told you and what your grandma told you and all the rest of that nonsense. Ignore all of it and believe the report of the Lord. It's the only one that matters. I can't listen to the devil in one ear and serve God with the other one. Either I got to pay attention to God or I got to pay attention to devil. I'm believing God. I want to listen, Lord, to what you have to say. Prosperity is in your hands, God. Salvation is in your hands, Lord God. Achievement is in your hands, Lord God. Growth is in your hands, Lord God. Much is in your hands, Lord God. Somebody's salvation is in your hands, God. I want to pay attention to you. Is anything too hard for him? No. 2017. Somebody said last night, part one of this, in their testimony, Sister Margaret said this. She said, it's time to be all in. All in. If God thinks enough of us, y'all hearing this? If God thinks enough of raggedy old me with all my issues,
yes,
and I got issues, then we ought to at least respond to what God is trying to do.
Amen.
To us. If God placed it in us, on us, it's just a matter of us saying yes to God and going into the land.
Amen.
But we're worried. Amalekites are over there. They giants. They make us look like grasshoppers. Church of the Redeemer right down the street. Stealing all the members. Ain't nobody worried about Church of the Redeemer. I'm worried about the Redeemer. But Pastor, we ain't never had no money. That's a lie that somebody told you. Your identity is you just paid off $190,000 mortgage. Like that. That's who, you don't even know who you are yet. Don't you know you did that? Through your giving, through your evangelism, through who you're attracting here, it ain't the same old place it used to be. God is about to do something. And so now I'm just asking. We're about to put some stuff out that's going to be so far outside what you thought could ever happen at Emory Grove. I'm telling you, it's going to blow the top of your head off. Some of y'all going to want to go join another church by the time we get done. You laughing. It's going to be impossible for you to do it the way you see it. It said right here. Lord, they gave a whole list of people. Yeah, the Amalekites dwell in the land to the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites are over there, and the Canaanites are by the sea. And there's all these other people, they giants, and we just can't, Lord have mercy. Just can't do it. Y'all are welcome anytime to turn back and go to Egypt. But my God set us free. I intend to walk in my liberty. I intend to walk in God's power. I intend to believe what God said he was about to do in this place. I intend to believe that right now God is speaking to some people whose hearts are about to be converted and changed to make his will a reality in this place. God is bigger than me. He's bigger than my vision. He's bigger than my past. He's bigger than my problem. God is bigger. If only you would trust and believe. One of my great-grandmother's favorite hymns was trust and obey. Yes, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. Doesn't matter what it looks like around you right now. Brother Washington, transition or no transition. God's got vision. God's got a purpose. God's got a plan. It is only mine to trust his plan. I don't care whether you make me look like a grasshopper. I'm going to stand and look at your great big self and say, excuse me, I'm going to take the land. That's godly arrogance. But it is God's purpose for us. Not to be arrogant, but to get what God has envisioned for us. To do what God has for us to do.